We'll talk things over with candidate for public instruction superintendent Linda Murphy when we continue on K1 in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And spending a little time this morning on a K1 Community Connection, talking with candidate for State Superintendent Linda Murphy. First of all, Linda, thanks for calling in this morning. I always treasure an opportunity to talk things over with candidates for public office. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, Charlie.
And we appreciate talking to you. State School Superintendent, one of those offices that sometimes doesn't get a lot of visibility, but certainly an important office. If you expect a well-educated workforce to be graduating from the state school systems. And looking at your website, you start off with a biography of yourself, a picture of your high school annual staff, you and the rest of the students from 1970 sitting there for a yearbook photo.
Yes, I just put a little history of myself, a little timeline there to give people, you know, an understanding of where I came from in Oklahoma and some of the people that know me best there in that community. I think it's important, you know, to know something about the candidates and their background.
Well, certainly, and you kind of have a photographic history of yourself from high school to college to experience in the classroom, and that's something else. I think I'm not sure that it is a legal requirement for a state superintendent to have been in the classroom, but I think for the voters, it certainly is.
Right. I think there needs to be some experience with public education, absolutely, as a teacher, as an administrator, or in some capacity. And mine is in the classroom as a teacher. I worked later with schools as a consultant and worked with children that had visually related learning problems in a clinical setting where I worked with schools on the individualized education plans for those students. So my involvement has always been in education. That's my career and field.
Yeah.
So I do love it and hope to see some great improvements that we will make in the future.
Well, you won a statewide award from the State Optometric Association, and you apparently have looked at several other offices in state government. I think your first appointment, if I'm reading your bio right, was about 1995, with not necessarily education-related, but certainly an important office in state government.
Well, it was actually education. It was Governor Keating appointed me as Secretary of Education after I ran an office campaign for state superintendent in 1994. I got 49.5% of the vote statewide against Sandy Garrett, who was then state superintendent.
Sure.
And following that, Governor Keating appointed me Secretary of Ed. I stayed in his office as education advisor for a year and then went to the Department of Labor working on the issue of workforce education and training. So it was all education-related, although it was in a couple of different places.
Okay, and then certainly a few years ago, four years ago, Common Core was in the headlines, and an admirable idea to have standards that a degree from a high school in, I don't care, New York, says that you meet some same standards generally that a degree from Kansas or Texas or Oklahoma or Illinois or California.
Right.
It didn't work out that way.
I understand that, you know, marketing appeal and approach to looking at those standards, but when you actually analyze what was in the standards and the fact that we really did not own them, they were controlled by the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers out of Washington, D.C., that was very troubling. We needed to have our own set of standards that were truly academically focused. So we did repeal those from law, and I was very active in helping get that done. So we now do have our own standards, and we're on a track. Now the standards are our own, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can be improved greatly, but that's something we can do because we own them. The problem that we have right now is that the testing, we've had for the last 2 years is nationalized, and it is not directly aligned with our own standards. So that causes a problem, and that's why we see low test scores in a lot of schools across the state for the last 2 years. So we need to change that. We need testing that is aligned with our standards. Then the curriculum that teachers teach will allow the students to pass the test.
Well,
it's a very simple process, really.
It really is. And while I think personally every student, even if you are not necessarily post-secondary bound, ought to have the experience of having taken a test like the ACT, SAT, one of those big tests, just because I think it's part of the high school experience, I also look back to when you and I and a lot of the listeners were in high school when ag education, VOTEC, high school or grade school shop, home ec, and all those other courses were taught. They may not be the same academic standards as physics and higher math and the STEM courses that we're teaching today, but they were an important part of a educational experience along the way.
Absolutely. In fact, that picture you referred to of the annual staff in my high school where I was on the annual staff, we were in the home ec classroom where that was taken. That's where the picture was taken. And I do agree that these daily living skills, these things that can go throughout life, education are very important. And some of that has been removed from the local high schools. I totally appreciate our career tech system. We have a great system of career technology across the state, but some of it has been moved from the public school where a lot of children accessed it, a lot of students, to fewer people accessing some of those daily living skills that are just improving our lives and the quality of life. Education is about more than job training. Job training is important, very important, but education is broader than that. It's a full comprehensive knowledge and experience and skills for life.
We're talking with candidate for State School Superintendent Linda Murphy, and we'll pick up her acronym of LEARN and what that's all about when we continue on 1400 K1 in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Continuing our time this morning with candidate for State School Superintendent Linda Murphy. And Linda, as I look at your website, you've taken the letters of the word LEARN and built what I believe at least is the policy statement for your campaign. And I'm just going to let you work through the word, but I'm going to start off with saying that the word L is something that I think every school board member can talk about, local control.
Yes, absolutely, Charlie. L is local control, and that is number one on the list because if we have true local control, then we have people in the local communities electing their school board, and those people in the community making decisions over curriculum and the issues that come up within their school. These are the people that know the students best, love the students personally, involved in their lives, and that's always going to be better decisions for children and their lives and students and their futures than anyone can make from the state level or from the federal level. So local control is number one, and as I said earlier, the nationalized testing that we have actually will drive our curriculum. It will make us change our curriculum so that students can pass the test. So that takes the control out of the state and out of the local level for the curriculum. We need to get that back where we have a test that we contract or we develop ourselves that matches the standards that we've written. So local control, number one. Number two is education excellence. I have a vision, and we need a vision for excellence in education in the state of Oklahoma. We need to be bringing a positive national image, not just a marketed, you know, terminology or shiny picture painted, but the reality of excellence in education and that image projected to the nation. It's important for so many reasons, but excellence in education will come when we allow teachers to teach. Teachers who know how to teach reading and math and writing and spelling, who know how to work with students one-on-one and get the best possible results with student learning in the classroom. That is not going to come from an outside imposed program and plan and process that we've seen coming from the outside, like Common Core was in earlier outcomes-based education, and really a lot of other mandates and regulations that come down from above, so to speak. We need to cut a lot of that out and just have a traditional setting where teachers teach and make decisions. That's excellence in education. A is academic standards. I've talked about that some, but I want to say this about the standards. We are seeing a trend nationally in many states and a real effort really coming from the Obama administration, not really the Trump administration, that these things are still in place in the Federal Department of Ed, that there are goals for behaviors, attitudes, values, and beliefs. Those are worked into testing and assessment. Those are worked into curriculum. And that is not the direction we should be going with student behavior and attitudes and values. Those should be important and paramount in the classroom, but not entered into a data system, not evaluated with profiles sent out of the classroom to the state or to the federal level. We want academics to be the focus, and that's the kind of data that we should have in a student file, but all student information that's individualized should stay in the local school district, right there in the local school, and should not go out of that school district to any outside entity for any purpose. You know, only with parental consent or the consent of a mature student. As they're older, of course, they would have that consent themselves. So academic standards should be the focus. R is return money to the classroom, and that's something I've said for a long time. It's not new to me to be focused on that need and that goal. So returning money to the classroom will only happen when we have the money to send there. And some of it, I know, is in various places that can be directed where it needs to go to the teacher, teacher salaries, teacher materials, and things that they need in their classroom to teach students. I myself, as a teacher, have paid for materials that I needed in my class. I taught in Caddo County. I taught in Osage County in the public schools. And so I've experienced this myself. We know that there is money. For one example, the Commissioners of Land Office, CLO, has got the school land trust money, which is up to $2.4 billion in trust. That trust money cannot be touched, but what has been happening over the last many years is that the interest in revenue, which does belong to education, has not all been sent to education. Some of that interest in revenue, which the state constitution says belongs to education, has been sent to other places. It has been perhaps turned back into the trust. We're not sure exactly where it's been.
So the accountability factor is part of what I think you're talking about there. The public, first of all, has a right to know, and certainly if that money is directed for a specific purpose, in this case education, then there needs to be some assurance that that purpose is being fulfilled and that the funds are going, again, to where they were designated in the first place.
Exactly. So there is really a lot of money right there in the state school land office, commissioners of land office, CLO, that in their own reporting they say has only been sent out with 45% of the money that is revenue and interest. Again, that's going to be an awful lot of money that should be tapped into, and that will certainly help the budget in getting the needs in the classroom met.
As I don't want to short circuit the end part of your now part, but I think that almost speaks for itself.
Right, it does. So now is the time to do this, and I believe that when we saw the 9-day teacher walk out at the state capitol, it certainly brought about a great deal of conversation that needed to be had, and there are people with many different views about what happened there, and people that were there had different, you know, opinions of what was going on and what needed to happen. But the bottom line is, clearly and obviously, we have a statewide agreement, and we even did before the teacher walkout, that teachers need to have salaries that are competitive with other states. We should not have people leaving the classroom because they don't earn enough money to take care of their families and to, you know, meet their needs.
Certainly. Linda, and while the job specifically is classroom-related and classroom policy, does the state superintendent also act as a resource for the legislature, for the governor's office, for those agencies that designate how money will be used?
Absolutely. The state constitution says the state school superintendent is the executive officer of education for the state of Oklahoma. That really is not the job of the governor, according to the constitution. The governor has one seat on the state school board in the constitution. Now, recent legislation has given that power to the governor. Under Governor Fallon, it moved to Governor Fallon to appoint the board, but the state superintendent is the president of the state school board. The state superintendent is the chairman of the Board of Career Tech. So personally, I would like to see that governor appointment of the state school board changed with legislation where we actually elect the state school board statewide. And I think we could do that with five different congressional districts, which are already equally proportioned, you know, for population, that we would have maybe one candidate from each congressional district elected to the state school board. That's the direction I think we should go.
Well, it sounds as though there's a lot of meat yet on the plate here, but I kind of have to look at the clock and say, Linda, I've been referring to your website throughout much of this interview just to, as a guide for me to help you get some of your policy positions out there. But we can send the listeners to your website too, right?
That's right. If you go to votelindamurphy.com, you'll find this information, my bio, press release, some interviews, news articles, my policy page, and just quite a bit of information there. So votelindamurphy.com.
And Linda, I don't know your travel schedule, but I thought I'd at least give you an opportunity. If you were going to be in Osage, Washington, Nowata County sometime over the next couple of weeks, minus one day, is there a travel schedule we can talk about, or are you tied up elsewhere around the state?
Let me see if I'm just looking at it here. Of course, we only have now 2 weeks from yesterday, 2 weeks until the election. I will be in Mays County, which is not too close. Lawton, Cheyenne, Clinton, Edmond, Durant. I don't see one right in your area before the election. So,
well, it's important.
If I change that, I'll let you know and get that up on my Facebook page as well.
And that's someplace else we can send people as well. And Facebook being an interactive form of communication, they can message you and ask specific questions that you could answer for a specific voter if necessary, too.
Absolutely. I'm very open. I've answered all the questions sent my way and appeared at a forum statewide, many forums, many Republican events. Of course, this is a Republican primary, and then we'll have the general election and go to public forums. But I have been to 45, 50 meetings and events across the state, and I might mention that my opponent has been at one of those. So I think it's important to answer questions to the public and I'm very open for that.
Well, Linda Murphy, thank you so much for your time this morning. And again, we would welcome any candidate, but since I'm talking to you, welcome you to Washington County anytime you make the trip. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Linda Murphy, candidate for state superintendent this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1.
Kevin Hearn. You've seen his TV ads where he claims